You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast with Simon Roche. What a fun night it's been, and it's not over yet. Jim Lancia, our criminal justice correspondent, is also an expert on the situation in South Africa. It has become a passion of his, and he is with us now to anchor this third and final hour. Jim Lancia, as you well know, as we often mention, is a former career police officer. He is now retired, having served a lifetime in the Bridgeport, Connecticut Police Department at the height of the crack epidemic. He wrote the book Downtown White Police, which we have offered as a fundraising incentive in appeals past. Check it out on Amazon, Downtown White Police by James Lancia. He is an incredible man, and we're lucky to have him as part of our team. But tonight, we focus on Jim's knowledge of the situation in South Africa as he applies it to this interview this evening with Simon Roche. And here we go now. Jim, over to you, who will be taking my spot as the lead host for the third and final hour. Jim?
Thank you, James. I appreciate the opportunity. I have a few questions for Simon. I had the pleasure to speak with Simon privately months back. And we spoke about the situation and, you know, his efforts to garner support for what's going on there, and I commend him for that. I'd also like to say, as a Christian, I rebuke those apostate Christian churches that do not listen to the appeals of their beleaguered brothers and sisters in South Africa in their most dire need for help, not even to return a phone call. When they take money from the government to sponsor Muslim refugees in this country and spread them all over this great United States, and their ears are closed to their own Christian brothers and sisters. I know that pastor who called earlier, Pastor Dan, and his Christian Identity Church would have never closed their ears to the plight of their brothers and sisters wherever they are in the world. Simon, I have a few questions.
Yes.
And I'm going to get to the reason why I want to mention, just to most people who don't know, I did apply for the position of South African ambassador from the U.S. I offered to do it without a salary, and there is not currently a South African ambassador appointed as of yet. I know my chances are very slim for this because I am not a political person. So I ask you, Simon, candidly, which you have told me on the phone, you have very low expectations of a man like me being appointed South African ambassador. Could you please tell the audience why you believe that cannot happen?
Because the African National Congress government would be horrified at the prospect of a white ambassador, firstly, and more particularly a conservative white ambassador. The African National Congress wants the USA to give them ambassadors who conform to the political ideology of the South African Communist Party, African National Congress, and the trade unions, that tripartite alliance that I've described previously. That's all that they're interested in, James.
I agree with you. And that's the sad part of politics. The former American ambassador to South Africa, Patrick Gaspard, was a criminal in my view, and he was involved in the Acorn scandal. He was appointed by Obama, and I do believe Trump relieved him shortly after he was inaugurated. I also made note of his criminality in my letter to him, and I'd like to think that maybe that had a little hand in having the president get rid of him. But here's what a good ambassador could do for the South African people whoever he is, if he was sincere in his efforts to really help with the media. And as with the position of an ambassador, he would be able to make it known worldwide the atrocities that are committed and sanctioned by the government against the white minority. He would be able to withhold the billions in U.S. tax dollars that go to this corrupt, racist government. He would be able to redirect any funds getting through to feed the impoverished instead of going to national soccer teams in a corrupt government. He would also be able to grant refugee status for all the white minorities who choose to leave South Africa. And finally, I believe that an ambassador could request sanctions placed on the South African government until certain racial hate legislation is eliminated. So that could be a real powerful position and a realistic help for South African whites. But as Simon said, it's almost an impossibility simply because they don't want someone in there who wants to get something done and who would really try to help the people of South Africa, especially the white minority of South Africa. Simon, what do you think the inevitability for a true race war is, and do you believe there is a timeline?
Oh, I'm sorry, you broke up in my earphone there, James, but I did get the gist of your question. We believe that it's 100% inevitable. You know, our organization was founded by a guy called Gustav Muller, who had been in the old South African Defense Force in the Department of Military Intelligence. So he is a specialist by training in the field of scenario planning and risk analysis. And on that basis, he has allowed the Saitlanders to engage in this debate of what is happening in South Africa without being hidebound by doctrine. You know, we are the one organization in South Africa of any size and any strength that doesn't kowtow to political correctness. And Gustav Muller and our senior leaders have been accurate time after time after time after time. My own father said to me, you know, Simon, I don't agree with you and I don't agree with everything that you're doing, but I'll tell you one thing. It's astonishing how accurate you, that is to say, because I'm the one who's talking to him, but of course I'm regurgitating other people's words, how accurate you have been. And we are positive now, James, that we are entering the final stretch of this race. The black leaders are speaking openly about the slaughter of all whites, about a race war, about being on the verge of a race war, eliminating all whites within 5 years. I just want to get my dates right. I think it was 4 Mondays ago, the head of the African National Congress's armed wing in the largest portion, population section of South Africa, a man called Themba Mavhundla said, it is now time for blacks to go to training camps to prepare to slaughter whites in the forthcoming race war.
Hold on right there. James Lancia is with us, everybody, our criminal justice correspondent, anchoring the third and final hour tonight with our guest, Simon Roche. Stay tuned for more here exclusively on the Political Cesspool and the Liberty News Radio Network.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby, Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor Score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, folks, you got two Jameses on the line right now here on the air. James Edwards, yours truly, and of course the one and only James, a.k.a. Jim Lancia, author of Downtown White Police and so much more, our criminal justice correspondent, host of his own YouTube show, and an expert on the situation in South Africa. We are actually going to post a blog entry on Monday that features a letter that Jim sent to President Trump regarding South Africa. You don't want to miss that. So check out our website on Monday evening when that will be posted. But anyway, for those reasons and more, we have ceded our time to Jim to host the third and final hour of the program this evening with our very special guest on this very special installment of The Political Cesspool Live tonight, Saturday, August 5th. Jim, back to you.
Thank you, James. What I'd like the audience to realize is the hateful rhetoric that comes right from the top, right from the president's mouth, from Zuma's mouth, as well as Julius Malema, who is actually running for president. The hateful rhetoric, one of the most famous ones, is the call for the machine gunning of the Boer. And Malema is known for saying some pretty hateful, racist things against whites also, like taking their land, making them slaves to work the land for the black man. Am I wrong in these statements, Simon?
No, not at all. You're 100% right, James. You know, the thing that is so difficult for people to understand is the degree of the lies by omission that are being fed to them here in the USA and in the Western world, you know, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Western Europe. As I've said before, this is not for the benefit of people in Colombia. It is, whether people like it or not, for the benefit of the Western world. Can you imagine if Donald Trump sang a song which ran, bring me my machine gun so that I can kill the Democrats, or bring me my machine gun so that I can kill all people from Missouri? In South Africa right now, black leaders are singing songs like "Bring me my machine gun so that I can kill the whites of South Africa," and so on and so forth. There's so much more of this. It is ongoing all of the time. But nobody will report it except for the political cesspool and Red Ice and Stefan Molyneux, you know, who I believe, James, you needn't agree with me, but I believe that this is an indication of really some kind of remnant of people who are loyal to God. I don't want to get too much into religion, but it is very, very difficult to understand how it can be that it is a select group of right-hearted people in the world that is willing to listen to the truth while the rest are completely indifferent.
Exactly, and that's the plight of true Christianity today. We are being attacked and exterminated, and white people are expendable today. Even if you talk about these types of atrocities with other whites, they do not want to hear it. It's absolutely mind-boggling to me. What this audience may not also know, and some people do know, but the majority of Americans don't know, because if they did, I think there'd be more outrage. But they don't realize the ritualistic type of murder that these blacks commit on whites. It's ritualistic torture, raping in front of the husband while they're tied up. I don't want to get too graphic, but people need to know this. This is ritualistic murder, and this is not some accident of African stupidity and just a typical result of crime that spills out all over. This is perpetrated against the white minority to exterminate them and to cajole them into passivity and to create a atmosphere of fear and to render the white minority completely useless and helpless. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, you're 100% correct, James. That's exactly what's occurring. Dr. Gregory Stanton, a liberal and an anti-apartheid activist, so not a natural ally of us, of Washington, D.C., in an organization called Genocide Watch in Washington, D.C., visited South Africa on a number of occasions, and he observed exactly the same thing. You know, in the talks that we give around the USA, we've been giving presentations all across the USA, we have driven over 5 months, this is excluding flights, we have driven over 23,000 miles, desperately trying to get this word out so that people can understand that women are being raped on the farms, they're being raped in their houses, they're being raped in the suburbs, they're being raped in the cities. And the number of examples is not hundreds, it's literally tens of thousands. And we endeavor to cite liberal sources, James, because I know that you are correct. In your assessment, you're very well informed on South Africa. As you say, you and I have spoken on a couple of occasions, and I know that your estimates are correct of the amount of crime, but we don't quote those high figures because it could lead to people saying, oh, well, it could be 10 people less or whatever. We quote figures from liberal sources, and the liberal organizations in South Africa have stated that just over 1 in 3 women in South Africa will be raped in their lifetime. When we do these things around the USA, we give evidence of this so that people don't find themselves in a situation of wondering, gee, maybe I should believe ABC, or perhaps Simon is telling the truth, or maybe Simon's lying, or he's exaggerating, or the Saitlanders are hysterical. And recently, we've been saying to people, you can come to South Africa, you can come to our headquarters on the south bank of the Orange River, meet our leadership, you can go down to the famous Orania enclave, you can go to the famous Hopetown concentration camp, you can spend a few days on the Orange River for less than $2,000. You know, a flight ticket out to South Africa is about $1,100. If you're not sure that whether or not we are telling the truth, come and see for yourselves. BBC came And they didn't report very extensively, but neither did they dispute any of the claims we've made. The famous French magazine Le Figaro came. They didn't dispute any of the claims that we've made. The same with National Geographic magazine, a Dutch television company recently, a French television company recently. We're not hysterical and we're not neurotic. We're telling the truth when we say that a little three-year-old girl was raped by four men to death. But I say, I'm citing a particular example. It's not the only one. There are many examples of two-year-old, three-year-old, four-year-old white girls being raped to death. When we cite a particular example of many, of a four-year-old white girl being raped by three men and surviving, as the post-mortem autopsy revealed, and then being set on fire, burned to death, we are telling the truth. This is really happening in South Africa.
They are truly monsters, and the world needs to know. Now, being a retired police officer, I have the confidence of South African police, retired and active. They tell me that the crime rate is as bad, actually so much worse than it really is portrayed as, simply because of the reporting. The reporting is done by incompetent... South Africa used to be a first-class, world-class, first-world nation. They had one of the finest militaries, one of the finest police forces in the world. They are now a third-world country, and the police force is a farce and is in no way geared to protect anybody, and they are corrupt to the core. So Simon is being accurate here also, and it is not an exaggeration. The very fact that our media does not want to report on this shows that it's a concerted effort to hush it up. It's almost the same.
Well, Jim, if you don't mind, hold on right there, brother. We'll be back with you and Simon as the political cesspool continues tonight. Third and final hour, two segments to go. Don't go anywhere.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Staley. Amazon held a big jobs day this week, billed as the biggest hiring event of the year. The company interviewed, hiring 50,000 full-time and part-time workers, planning to hire 130,000 more workers by 2018. Full-time positions include medical benefits starting one day, as well as tuition reimbursements for high-demand careers starting one day. By that, they mean on day one. Part-time positions would receive medical benefits 90 days later. Under Attorney General Sessions, the Trump administration seems to be breathing new life into civil forfeiture. It wants to increase them. The Attorney General reversed a 2015 ban on what are called adoptive seizures, where state authorities seize assets and turn them over to the feds in a turn that state authorities get 80% of the proceeds. Senator Rand Paul, though, is fighting back. He and several colleagues wrote to Sessions asking him to rescind the recent expansion. He pointed out in 2014 the federal government, in his words, was the biggest burglar in America. This is LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, you know, just because Keith's not off the air doesn't mean he's not in the room. We're letting Jim Lanzia take care of this last hour for us, and he's doing a great job with our featured guest, Simon. Keith was over in the corner of the studio doing crunches there a second ago, staying in shape for the ladies, as it were. As certainly any man should. Jim, that being said, certainly another ladies' man, the alpha cop himself, Jim Lanzia. Jim, to you and Simon.
I got to do some crunches now, I guess. yes, okay. Simon, I think another thing a lot of Americans are unaware of is the legislation bandied around in the South African government for a land grab of white-owned farms and land. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, the South African government, or the African National Congress Party of St. Nelson Mandela, promised black Africans land prior to being elected. And they made some kind of token efforts towards it, and they've had all sorts of schemes to give land to black people. But very famously, many people don't know this, including in South Africa, but amongst people who study the matter, the largest scheme to repatriate land to black people was not taken up by 93% of the relevant people. In other words, this land was on the table, and 93% of the eligible black people said to the government, you know what, we'd rather have the money. So the government was obviously left with egg on its face because it had been promising this land issue, land. And it turned out that the black Africans who were eligible for the land weren't really interested in it. And they asked the government to give them money instead. And you can just imagine how that went. So now the government is saying, well, we're going to give land to these people anyway, and we're going to take it from the whites. So they firstly have discouraged, very famously, they have discouraged European and American investors from investing land inland in South Africa. And they have done that through a very particular piece of legislation that was led by one of our ministers called Malusi Gigaba. Now, if we put that aside for one second, the government has also said that white people should not own more than a certain number of hectares or acres, if you like, of land. Right. So that was the next step. Now, the fourth step in this process of trying by hook or by crook to get the land out of white hands is that the government is talking about expropriation without compensation. And they're saying they've drafted a bill already, a bill to go through our parliament. And famously in the bill, they didn't refer to land. They referred to all white-owned property. So there was a massive hue and cry in South Africa. What, are you going to take my car away from me? You're going to take the shirt off my back? And the government very shamefacedly has now had to take this bill and rewrite the bill. But it is still the express objective of our government to do what happened in Zimbabwe, which is to take land from whites and give it to blacks. And they call it expropriation without compensation. We're not giving you a cent. We just want that property, buddy.
Yeah. Isn't isn't what they did in Zimbabwe, now aren't they calling for white farmers to return because they're starving, because the farms aren't being farmed properly and are producing nothing? Am I right in that?
Yeah, that's 100% correct. A similar thing has happened in Zambia. A similar thing is occurring now in the Congo after 40 years of glorious independence and people starving to death. You know, they're asking for white South African farmers to go to all of these places. Our South African farmers, the Boer people, Boer, by the way, when spelt with a big B, refers to the people, the nation. When spelt with a small b, it means quite simply farmer, and that is indicative of the closeness of the Boer people as a nation, as a gene pool, if you like, to the land. You know, they are named after their working of the land, and these our farmers are amongst the very best in the world, phenomenally hard-working people. We have white people in South Africa pride ourselves, perhaps above all other things, on our industriousness and a hard work ethic. So yes, you're correct to say that, you know, they chase us away, then they call us back and chase us away, and it happens throughout Africa over and over again in a almost cyclical way.
A man named Julius Malema, part of the EFF, he's going to be running for president in the future. Is that correct?
That's correct. In the 2019 national elections, he will compete for the presidency.
Would you think that that would be good for South Africa or bad for South Africa? It's a sensitive question, and I know the political climate in South Africa. If you don't want to comment on it, you don't have to.
It would be a tragedy for South Africa, an absolute tragedy. We have a man in power now, Jacob Zuma, he of the seven wives, generally the media reports four, but that's an absolute fallacy. It's simply not true. Who is a wicked man who famously admitted to raping the daughter of one of his friends, but he wasn't convicted on it. Because of a technicality, a wicked, wicked, wicked man. Julius Malema is, to the power of 10, more wicked than Jacob Zuma is.
They are nothing more than disgusting tribal warlords. That's coming from me, not from you, but I know I'm right about that. Tribal warlords who care nothing about the people, just gaining power, and they want to mow down every white man and woman and child in their way. And it's just like it is here in the U.S., blaming their ills, their woes, their inability to do anything on the white man. And it's never going to end. And welcome to the world of being a white minority in this world. That is why it is so dangerous for whites to be a minority anywhere. You're seeing it firsthand. It's just like I said a long time ago, it is a template for white genocide. It's a slow kill. They use criminality to do it, but it is a war. Let us not make any mistake. This is a war. And Americans need to wake up to it, and the fact that it's covered up again is inconceivable by me, and it is a concerted effort. And the fact that our politicians in this country, the cowardly dirtbags that they are, make no mention of South Africa. And President Trump is well aware of what's going on in South Africa because he's made statements about it a couple of years ago that it is an atrocity and that things are going on. And the fact that he hasn't even given me a call about this yet. And you know what? This bothers me. I know I'm a nobody in the political world, and I may be outspoken, but I'm truthful. And that's what they're afraid of. And he invites comedians and Kanye West to the White House. Why couldn't he just invite me? I know he got my letter. He could have invited me and said, Jim, it's an impossibility. Thank you for trying. This is where we are right now, where the truth is never going to be heard. It is snuffed out, just like anything good. And I'm sorry for running off on this, but it really does bother me, because nothing will get done if we do things in the same manner, because this is why South Africa is in the position it is now, and it's not going to be just South Africa. It's going to be every Western culture, inevitably. Now,
well, God willing.
Go ahead. You answer, please.
James, I just wanted to say, God willing, we can be the canary in the coal mine for you guys, because if we continue to suffer, hopefully this conspiracy, and there has to be some conspiracy. There's just no way that the media, somehow accidentally didn't report what's happening in South Africa. We've already been through this. If it was happening anywhere else in the world, just the sheer statistics would precipitate this matter being reported on the front page of every newspaper day and night, 365 days a year. But hopefully, these people will overplay their hand and really expose to the rest of the world, even if we suffer in the process, even if we meet a gruesome fate in the process in South Africa, in this civil war, which is beginning and is being promised to us. There's no doubt anymore whether it is or isn't going to happen. As I said earlier, the African National Congress is now calling people to training camps to train to kill whites. This is our government. The armed wing of our government is calling blacks to go to training camps to specifically, they're using these words. I'm not making these words up. I'm quoting them verbatim. To go to training camps to train to kill whites. The world can see what is going to happen. Hopefully, absolutely. At the very least, and no matter what happens to us, you guys, our brothers, will see it and you will react. Please, God, if nothing else.
Folks, how can we end this show? How can we wrap it up in a single second? In a single segment, we can't. But this has been an incredible show, and Jim has done a fantastic job this third hour. Jim Lancia, everybody. One more segment with him and Simon coming up to wrap up the program tonight. Stay tuned.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I think, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why we are one of the most well-known outlets is because we surround ourselves with the best talent in terms of our crew and production staff, certainly our guest tonight, God knows. How do you get denounced by Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? Well, you make a name for yourselves, and we've done that by standing out, and we've stood out by telling the truth. In Vino Veritas, we don't even have to have the wine to tell the truth. We do it here every week just by reflex. And I want to say what an incredible job I think Jim Lancia has done this hour with Simon. I had intended originally to spend the bulk of this final segment making mention of what we'll be covering next week. Next week, a very important show. Eddie Miller will be traveling with actually our benefactor here, General Lee. They'll be driving together to go to Unite the Right in Charlottesville. I had intended to spend the bulk of the final segment tonight preparing you for that. All you need to know is that we'll be there. We will be there, and the full 3 hours of next week's show will be live from Virginia with Eddie and his special invited guests, the people who participated in Unite the Right. The full 3 hours will be breaking down what happened at that event. That event will be over by the time we go on the air next week at this time. And so for the full 3 hours, we'll be breaking down exactly what happened with the people who were there, eyewitnesses, participants. Stay tuned for that. Brad Griffin, a.k.a. Hunter Wallace, wrote an incredible piece for OccidentalDescent.com entitled Why Unite the Right is Coming to Charlottesville. That is the best primer I've yet seen. And we had Jason Kessler, the organizer of this event, on the air with us live last week. But if you've not yet read Why the Alt-Right is Coming, or Why Unite the Right is Coming to Charlottesville, go read it. We reposted it at thepoliticalcesspool.org earlier this week. I would encourage you to check it out. It gives you the exact play-by-play account of what's happened in Charlottesville leading up to this event that we will be covering live from the scene with Eddie Miller. I'll be anchoring from the studio next week. Eddie will be on the ground with Michael Hill and many other people. So stay tuned for that. That's all coming next week. But I'm not going to spend the entire segment, final segment, telling you about that. Just know that that's what we'll be doing next week. So be sure to tune in. And you can read more about it at our site. But I'm going to turn it back to Jim Lancia, because I think it has been such an incredible show. We're going to let Jim have the final word, but before we go back to Jim, Simon, if we have not yet proven to the listening audience that they should support your organization and the cause for freedom and the cause of what's right for our brothers and sisters in South Africa, then I don't think we can make a more compelling case than what's already been made. But I would like to reiterate for those who need to contribute, and we will all be contributing. Why will we contribute, ladies and gentlemen? Because I never ask you to do something that I wouldn't do for myself, something that I wouldn't be willing to do first before asking you. And so we will be contributing to this organization, and that's why I have the authority to ask you to do it as well. Simon, remind us how we can do that, and then we'll toss it back to Jim to round out the hour with you, my friend.
The best way to contribute is via the PayPal link on our English language website, which is a terrific website. Everybody in the USA who's seen it has complimented us on it. It is suidlanders.org, suidlanders.org. There's a PayPal link in the bottom right-hand corner of the homepage. It's very easy to donate. If anybody has any queries or questions, please don't be shy. You're welcome to query. You're welcome to say, how do I know this and how do I know that? Send me an email. My email address is HK. That's the abbreviation in our language for headquarters. I am the head of the HQ for the emergency plan. I'm not the head of the organization. I'm not even the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth or the seventh in charge. I'm just the head of the implementation of the emergency plan. And my email address is hk@saitlanders.co.za. Saitlanders, hk@saitlanders.co.za.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you this. The first contribution after this show, unless you beat me to the punch, will be coming from me. There will be a contribution from James Edwards to this organization as soon as we wrap up tonight. And I would ask you to do the same. Again, I will not ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. I will never ask you to go anywhere where I'm not leading the charge. And I want to thank Simon for that. And by the way, it should be reminded to you, ladies and gentlemen, that his organization, Soytlanders, the literal translation for that in English is Southerner. Southerner.
That's correct. Some people think that it means Southlanders, but there actually isn't an equivalent. Soytlanders means Southerners. It's not Southlanders. In order for the other translation to exist, there would have to be a word which there isn't in Afrikaans.
Well, folks, for my Southerners in this audience, and of course we were based here in Memphis, and our first audience was here first in Tennessee and then throughout the South as we grew on the AM radio dial, and now, of course, it's worldwide, certainly across the country. But my Southern audience should be able to appreciate that. And with that being said, Jim, to you to round out the show tonight, we have 5 minutes left, and it's all yours and Simon's. Jim Lancia, everybody.
Thank you, James. I only have one more question. Now, I'm a big state secession as the only solution to save this great United States. I'm an advocate for a state to secede from an oppressive federal government, because the way things are going, I believe it'll inevitably lead to our own civil war here. That being said, I know there's a possibility of a Boer nation, a separate nation from South Africa, that is in the talk and in the works. What are your feelings about a separate Boer nation, if you want to comment about that, Simon?
Yes, certainly, James. I believe that it's feasible. There are many people, and substantial people, they're not fools, who are advocating for it and who are working towards it, but the government or the African National Congress is never in a million years going to permit that to happen. So we rather mind our own business. We focus on preparing for civil war as a civil defense organization, as the largest non-state civil defense organization in the world. We have more than enough on our plates. We are desperately, desperately trying to stockpile medicine and diesel fuel. So we are not participating very much in that conversation, because we don't believe that anybody's going to get it right to persuade the African National Congress to give us a chunk of South Africa. It's, in our opinion, absolute fantasy.
Right, and I commend you for what you're doing. You're actively doing something that's going to prepare for the inevitable. And I like the idea of a separate Boer nation so that they can start over again. And I'm definitely aware that they're not going to allow it, and there's only one other way to do it, and that's through war. And I know that's not what you advocate. I know that's what you're about, but I do believe, in the end, something like that is going to have to be set up, because the end of the white South African will be complete extermination in the future, or complete assimilation into the black population, and the Boer nation will be wiped out. I don't mean to end it off on such a bad note, but I will end it off, at least on my part, and I'll give it back to you, James, so you can end it any way you want. But I want to thank you, Simon, for letting me ask you some questions and for some candid answers. And I give you Godspeed in my prayers that you collect as much as you need to help the people, the white Christian people of South Africa. I commend you, and I thank you, and I say goodbye.
Good night, and God bless you, James, for your support.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, the person sitting across from me in this radio studio tonight is a very brave individual indeed. He is putting himself on the line for a cause greater than himself, greater than James Edwards, and greater than our listening audience, if you can believe it. It is the cause of the survival of his family and his people, and can't we all relate to that? The least we can do is support them with the meager resources we have at our dispersal and availability. SUIDLANDERS.org. That's the website. SUIDLANDERS.org. LANDERS.org. Contribute via PayPal. I will be doing so immediately after the broadcast tonight, and I would encourage you to do so as well. And I can't thank Simon enough for the 3 hours of incredibly informative radio. I think that our listening audience will long remember this particular broadcast in the entire archive of our show. Over the course of the last 13 years, this one certainly stands out to me. I think it will to others as well. Simon, my dear friend, final word to you.
Thank you very much to all of the Americans who've helped us in various ways. We know that some people don't have money and some people can't do much, but we have been blessed to receive a phenomenal reception in the USA that we didn't expect to receive. It's not that we expected something negative, but we never believed that it would be so fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Let's make it more fantastic, folks. You can do it, and I can as well. Let's band together and support this man and his organization. It is a righteous organization, an organization worthy of your best efforts. For my entire cast and crew, and for Simon, I'm James Edwards. No retreat, no surrender, no apologies. God bless you, folks. We'll talk to you next week from Charlottesville, Virginia.